Well, Father, we thank you, Lord, that tonight we can all come together in fellowship all across this land and across the water. And Lord, we thank you that we're all in one accord with you, Father. We believe your word, we trust in your word, and we trust in you, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that this revival's coming and it's coming fast, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you make sure that we're ready for it, Lord. Build our faith up, Lord. And get us ready, Father. Get us ready for the things that are going to happen around us, that we won't pay any attention to them, that we'll only be listening to you, Father. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask and I pray, Lord, that everybody here gets a hunger for the word, and that the word would be a part of their life, that nothing else would detract them, only the word, and that there wouldn't be any falling off to the left or falling off to the right. We'd still be going straight ahead on this narrow road that you've got us on, Father, because we know what your word says. We know that you're going to be with us. And if we ask anything in your name, you're going to do it, because that's what your word says. And we thank you, Father, for being with us tonight and leading us and guiding us and talking through us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Ooh, my. Thank you, Lord. Boy, I've been listening to some praise and worship music before I came on, and I've been fired up. So, let's see. Anybody got any prayer requests?
Michael?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, Gano.
Yes, I would like to pray for Tracy and for her family.
All
Father,
right.
I just lift Tracy up. Father, I just lift Tracy up to you, and I thank you for being with her this weekend and with her family, and I just pray, Father, that you give her strength and energy, and that you give her peace of mind, and that you give her the grace to speak grace and to show your love to others, even when it's a difficult time and a difficult situation, and that she would be led by your Holy Spirit. Father, I just pray that you would give her the words to say and to share and just to speak. And I just bind up the works and activities of the spirit of rebellion, condemnation, judgment, anger, rejection, and fear of rejection. Father, I just lift up this family for all who may not be saved. I just lift them up for your hand, that you would draw them, that they would be saved. And I thank you, Father, for what you are doing and what you're going to yet do in them. I just thank you for your presence with Tracy as she goes down there this weekend again, and thank you for renewing her energy and giving her peace of mind and heart. And I just pray that she would rest in you and give those difficult situations over to you and see your work being done. And you are the one who saves, and you are the one who restores relationships. You are the one who refreshes. We just thank you, Father, for just refreshing her heart and her mind, and you are with her, and just I just pray that she would feel your presence this whole weekend, and that she would come back refreshed and not feel like she's all worn out. And I just thank you, Father, and I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to ask the Lord. I believe the Lord has laid this on my heart to do this. Let's pray. Let's have a moment of silence on the microphone, and everybody pray in the spirit for Tracy and her family, okay? Thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in that family. We praise you, Father, that we're going to see results very soon. We thank you, Father, for that. Our heart trusts you. We trust implicitly in what your word says, and it says when we pray and we believe what we pray, we shall have it. And we thank you, Father, for saving that family. And thank you, Father, for putting joy and peace in Tracy's heart. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Boy, we're going to look for that miracle. I know it's coming. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else?
Hey, Michael?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I just like to pray for myself. Just been rather anxious the past several days, and it's really just wearing me down, and especially since we're getting ready for this trip, definitely a lot of demonic activity just coming against me and my wife. So, Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day, Lord, and we come against the demonic forces that are coming against my wife and I, especially when we're trying to get ready for this trip, Lord, and we command you to stop in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that, Lord, and we pray that I will enter into your rest continually, Lord, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for putting your hedge of protection around Matthew and Anna and Blake. Lord, that these enemies got to stop right now in Jesus' name. We command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall stop your attacks against Matthew and Anna right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father. From this point on, it's going to be smooth sailing because we're going to get everything ready and be ready to go whenever they need to go. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for putting peace and rest and joy in Matthew's heart. It doesn't make any difference what we see around us. We know who's in charge, Lord. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Also, Michael?
Yes, sir.
I just found out about a week and a half ago, but my wife is pregnant. And so I'd like prayer for protection for her and the baby.
Okay. Well, Father, we lift up Anna to you. Lord, we just sing hallelujahs because Anna's pregnant, and we thank you for it, Father. We thank you this is going to be a healthy baby. I don't know what it is. I don't know if you know or not. But, Lord, we thank you for a healthy baby and a healthy mama and a healthy delivery. And, Lord, we just praise you that this baby's going to be given to you. This is going to be your baby, and we praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I ask that you give them a good name that you want, Lord, them to have for this baby and this child in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful gift you've given this family in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I ask and I pray that you place love and rest in both their hearts, that this is going to be a smooth delivery. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Congratulations, y'all.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else? I want to pray for a friend of mine lives in Albuquerque. If y'all would, put your faith together with mine, and we're going to see a miracle. Lord, I lift up June to you, Lord. You know the circumstances in her family with her and her husband. And, Father, I just pray that you put rest in her heart, joy in her heart, and peace in her heart because of the situations. And just show her, Lord, how you want her to react to any kind of witchcraft that might be going on, or control mechanisms that might be going on. And, Father, we thank you that she's going to be a light to her husband and her family. And, Father, we just praise you for that. We thank you for it, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that you keep her away from the deceptive enemy in Jesus' name, from any kind of doctrine of demons out there, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to keep her on the right track. And we praise you, Father, for that. In the name of Jesus, Lord, and I thank you that we're going to see the salvation of her husband, true salvation, not this so-called Christian salvation that we see in the churches, Lord. It's going to be a true repentance because you're going to do it, and you're going to draw him to you, Lord, and he's going to run after you because you're going to put the fear of God in him, and you're going to show him that you are who you are. And I praise you, Father, for that. I thank you, Lord, for it. And I ask, Lord, that you do a quick work in him in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for placing peace in June's heart as well, in Jesus' name. Y'all believe that with me?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Me too.
Amen.
Okay, anyone else? I just want to pray. Is that okay? I just want to pray. But Lord, You're a mighty God. You're the God of all creation. You created every one of us, Lord. There ain't nothing that You can't do, Lord. There's nothing that You can't do. And we just praise You, Lord, for saving every one of us, Lord. I thank You, Lord, for giving Chris Garber wisdom to do the things that You've gotten him to do, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that if there's not time enough to do it all in, that You make time for him. In Jesus' name. Father, I just thank You for my brother who's an intercessor. And I thank You for that, Lord. And I lift up Galen, Gaynold, and Marlon to You, Lord. A wonderful, wonderful husband and wife, and they've got some great children. I know one of them right here, and he's a good man. He's a good, godly man, and I thank You for him, Lord. And I thank You for blessing Marlon and Gaynold, and blessing both of them with words from You, Lord, and revelations from You, Father. And I thank You for the ones You've already given them. And they've been a blessing to us, Lord. And I ask that You open up some more to them, Lord. And I praise You for that. And Lord, I lift up Marlene to You. And I thank You, Lord, for her heart. She has a heart for You, Lord. And she loves You, Lord. And I thank You for it, Lord, because that love really comes through. And I praise You, Father, that she is Yours. And I thank You, Lord, that You've put peace in her heart, rest in her heart. And I praise You for it, Lord. And I ask that You put great and bold faith in her, in Jesus' name. And You said, if we ask anything in Your name, that we shall have it. I ask that in the name of Jesus, Lord, that You do that for her. And I praise You for it. And Lord, I thank You for my brother Kurt. He's been a blessing ever since I met him 4 years ago. And I thank You for him, Lord. And I thank You that his healing is coming. His healing has already been done. It's already been done in the spirit realm. And he's already seen the dreams that You've given the people around him, that he is going to see well again. And I praise You for it, Father. I thank You for his heart toward his fellow brothers. He's got a love in his heart for everybody. And I thank You for it, Lord. I thank You for the words and the visions You've given him, Father, over the years. And I praise You, Lord, that You're going to step it up a little bit and give him some more, so that he could be a light to everybody around him, Father. He already is, but even be more of a light. And I praise You, Lord. And Father, I lift up Jackie to You. She's been a blessing in my life. I've known her for the last, I don't know how many years. And Lord, I praise You for her. She's been a delight. She's been a blessing. And she came down and saw us, Lord, and that was a blessing. And I just praise You, Lord, that You put great and bold faith in her as well. That bold faith to where she knows that she can trust You, Lord, to follow through when she prays. And Lord, I thank You for that. I praise You, Lord, for all that great and bold faith You're placing in her. And that love that You're placing in her heart for everybody around her, in her family, even though it seems like everything is coming against her, Lord. I thank You for just putting that peace in her heart and that rest in her heart. And I praise You for what the work that You've done in Jackie over the years, but the great work You're fixing to do in her shortly. And I thank You for it, Lord. And I lift up Stan and Claudia and Philip to You, Father. They've been a blessing to UBM for these past many years, and we just praise You, Father, that You're going to bless them. You're going to bless them with selling that house. And Lord, You're going to move them wherever You need them to be. And we just praise You for it, Lord. We thank You for their heart. We thank You for the revelations that You've given them. And we just praise You, Father, that from this point on, they're going to be getting more, and they're going to be getting more. And I just thank You for it, Lord. More dreams, more visions that are relevant for the times that we're in, Father. And I praise You for it, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're knitting their hearts together with the rest of us here. All of us here have been knitting our hearts together like Kurt's vision 4 years ago with that golden thread and pulling it tight amongst us, Father. And I thank you for it. And I lift up Charlie and Linda for you, Lord. They've been a great blessing to me over the last 4 years. And I praise you for them, Lord. They've got some great testimonies. And they have blessed a lot of people, Lord, and I ask that you give them more testimonies, to give them more blessings, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for filling in up with the Holy Spirit, the overflowing, that everywhere they walk, people will ask them, what's that light on you? And I thank you, Lord, for that in the name of Jesus, Father. And I thank you for the joy and the peace and the rest in their hearts too, Lord, that they're just walking, talking Jesus's. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for Andrew too, a man of the word. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to put more into him. You're going to put revelations. You're going to open up the word to him like he's never had it before, Father. I speak that prophetically. And I thank you, Father, for opening it up like a neon sign. And these revelations you're going to give him, Father. I thank you, Lord, that he's going to be a light for that area up there in Canada. And I praise you, Lord, for his heart towards you, Lord, and the heart for no deception, none at all in his heart, Lord, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for Andrew. And Lord, I lift up David to you, David Nelson. And Father, he has been a good brother to me for the last 3 or 4 years we've known each other. And Father, I just praise you for the word that you put in his heart. And I ask that you give him more, Lord, that you open up his heart more and more and more, Lord. And I ask that you kind of singe off or sear off any kind of rough edges that might be there, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that he's going to be the preacher that you want him to be and the teacher that you want him to be, Father. And I praise you, Lord, that those revelations are already coming to him. And I praise you, Lord, for putting joy and peace and rest in his heart as well. And I lift up my young brother Matthew to you, Lord, and Anna and Blake too. And I thank you, Lord, for having him come out here and visit us, Lord. And we're going to lay hands on them, and God's going to do a mighty work in their life. And I praise you for it, Lord. And I ask for your protection on their way down here and on the way back too, if they get to go back. And Father, we just praise you for that. We thank you, Lord, for their hearts towards you. And we thank you, Lord, for opening up that word even more for them as well. And that they would get those new revelations and give Anna some more dreams, Lord, and some more visions. And Matthew, too, and Blake as well. And we just praise you for that, Lord. We praise you for the work you've already done in them. And we just thank you, Lord, for bringing them here safely in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I lift up Wade and Jeanette to you down in Lafayette, Louisiana. They've been a good friend for the last 3 or 4 years, and I just thank you for them, Lord. I thank you that I have seen, just myself, I've seen the great change in both of them, Father. You have shown that to us, Lord, the blessings that you have placed on them, Lord, and the faith that you've built up in Wade and Jeanette both. And they're going out and they're spreading that around that area that they live in, Father, and I thank you for that, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Lord, for more word and more faith and more love in their heart for the people around them, Lord. And I thank you for it, Lord. And I thank you for turning that light up even more in their lives too, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for Wade and Jeanette. And Father, I lift up Joe and Nora to you, Lord. Mighty man and woman of God over there in South Africa, Lord. And I thank you for the ministry that you've given them, Lord. I thank you for the brother and sister they've been to UBM over the last many years, Lord. And they've helped us in many areas, Lord. And I thank you for that. And I praise you, Lord, for the work you're doing in their life. And I ask, Lord, that you just bless them mightily with an infilling of the Holy Spirit that spills out all around them, Lord. And that you give them the gift of healing and the gift of miracles, Lord, be evident in their life. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And I believe that, Lord. I believe that's what you wanted me to pray. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. I praise you, Father, for that. And Father, I lift up Mike to you, Mike Green, and I thank you, Lord, for his heart for you, Lord. And I thank you for that teaching spirit you've given him, Father. And I ask, Lord, that you just bring it out, Lord. Bring it out like you want it brought out, Lord. And I thank you so much for him. Lord, you've given him a gift that very few people have, and that's a gift to communicate. And it's a great gift, Father, and I praise you for it. And he's been a good friend of UBM's over the ever how long we've known him, Lord. And I thank you for him. And I ask, Lord, that you bless him with more revelations in your word. When he comes seeking you, Lord, I ask that you just talk to him. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for putting that peace, that rest, and that love in his heart, too, for everybody around him. I know sometimes we get out there in the world and things happen, but Father, all we got to do is focus our eyes on you. And I ask, Lord, that you just give him a special anointing to know when you're around, Lord, and you're talking to him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for all these lovely people, this family of the UBM Outreach, Lord, and I thank you for them in Jesus' name. We don't consider you an outreach. Actually, we consider you brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, I just thank you for the love you placed in all our hearts for each other. And Lord, I ask that you give us trust that only you can give us, that you're going to perform what you say you're going to perform in your word, the promises, Lord. When we pray, we know that they're going to be answered in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody say it. Amen.
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 Amen. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Oh. Amen. Amen. Anybody else got anything they'd like to pray about?
Michael, is Joe here?
Okay, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Father, thank you for the time you had with our brothers and sisters, especially for Michael and David, be a blessing in our lives. I can't thank you enough for the word, the blessing, the comfort, and just being part of our lives. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Okay, anybody else?
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
I don't know whether Connie's on or not. She said she was going to try, but she's bought her a new phone, and I think there's an electrical storm that's going on around Tulsa at this time, she said. But anyway, she's sort of scared to come on and ask or talk or whatever. But she took her, whatever that test is that you take, you know, that to get your, she quit school, so she's trying to, you know, get that.
You're talking about a GED?
Yeah. Well, she keeps failing the math part, and I don't know. I think she's taken it 5 or 6 times. She's got dyslexia, and so I told her, I said, you need to come on and ask Michael and everybody to pray for you. I said, that's a demon, and you need to have that demon cast out. So anyway, I would like to, I guess that was the prayer I'd like to do for her. I don't know that she's listening or not. If she had, you would have noticed phone number, but can we just pray for her concerning that?
Yeah, she's not on, but that's okay. God can work without her being on.
Yeah, I'll let you pray if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind. We come against this spirit of dyslexia on Connie right now, and we command it to go right now in the name of Jesus. You have no business on her. She's a child of God, so you go right now in Jesus' name. We command those eyes to focus like it's supposed to and that brain to work like it's supposed to with the eyes. And we praise you, Father, that Connie can see as well as anybody else. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you her eyes are normal now, 20/20 vision. And Father, we thank you that you're going to put that wisdom into her to pass those math tests with flying colors, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for restoring Connie's eyes in Jesus' name and giving her wisdom in the name of Jesus. Everybody believe that?
Amen.
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 I believe it.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Michael?
Yeah, Marlene, go ahead.
I just want to thank the Lord for your prayer for each one of us. And Father, I ask you to bless Michael 100-fold and just pour your blessings out upon him and protect him, protect David, and protect UBM in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, anybody else? Well, Lord, I lift up Barbara to you. She just came on, and I thank you for her, Lord. She's come down. We visited with her last time she was here. Been quite a while. But, Father, we thank you for her heart, for you. And we ask, Lord, that you do a mighty blessing in her, that you fill her up with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and that that Spirit of God would just be exuberating out of her whole being, Lord, and that everybody around her would know that she's a child of God, because she's going to be beaming like a new dime, Lord. And we praise you for it, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you give her words of wisdom to speak to people around her, the words that only you would want her to say, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you've done that and you're doing that again. And we praise you, Lord, for that. And we thank you, Lord, for her heart toward the lost. And we ask, Lord, that you place an uncommon love in her heart for all of those around her that are lost. And, Father, that she would pray, put an intercessor's heart in her, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. I thank you for my sister Barbara, Lord, in the name of Jesus. You believe that, Barbara?
Amen. Yes, I do. Thank you.
Amen. I do, too.
I ask you to pray for me that I would have a greater discernment in the things, like see with spiritual eyes more the aspects of God.
Okay.
Have more discernment. I just want to be able to make sure I hear exactly from God and I don't miss him, and just that I would have a greater understanding of the spiritual things in general. Thank you.
Amen. That's what the word says, that if you shall ask anything in my name, that will I do. So, Father, we just ask that you give her great discernment. Matter of fact, I just ask, Lord, that you give everybody good discernment against the enemy, Father, that they'll recognize it right away. And, Father, we thank you for it. And, Lord, I ask that the word of knowledge comes to Barbara when she needs it, and everybody else here too, Lord, that she needs it, in order to discern and to understand what's going on. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. You believe that, Barbara?
Yes, amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Michael.
All right. It is written, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Praise God. According to your faith, be it done unto you. Thank you, Lord. Prayer is, everybody should know what prayer is. I'm sure you all do. It's faith. It's exactly faith. And you, there's something else that goes along with that faith, and it's trust. It's just trust and faith. You know, any time in the heart of any Christian who wants to talk to something unseen like God, in their eyes, we have to, out of just helplessness, we got to have that faith that God's given us, and we got to believe where we can't even prove sometimes. Prayer is simply faith. It's taking possession of its inheritance in Christ. It's faith. And then there's something that goes along with that faith, as I said, and that's trust. And trust is a firm belief, or it's faith in full flower. That's what trust is. So when you pray, you have to trust that God's going to answer your prayers, don't you? If you just go out there and say a flippant prayer without seeking the Lord, it's not going to go anywhere. You ain't going to get a foot off the ground. That if you trust that the Lord is going to answer your prayer, then you know absolutely and completely that God's going to answer your prayer, don't you? So that's why when we come to the Lord, we don't want to just pray flippantly. We want to seek him and understand and make sure he hears us. Understand that he's in your presence at the time. Sometimes, a lot of times, I'm just going to tell you my experience. Some of you have different ones probably. But I'll do praise for a while and praise him before I start in asking for things, you know, and I'll praise him for what he's doing. I'll put on some praise music maybe and just praise him in the spirit. And then I'll sit and then I'll get in to whatever it is that I want him to answer, you know. And God answers prayers. He's answered many, many of my prayers. I know there's still some pending as far as, you know, I can tell in the natural. I know they've already been taken care of in the spirit. So I know when we come together here that our faith and our trust in the Lord to fulfill those promises that he's put in the Word of God for us, that these prayers are going to be answered. Amen?
Yes, amen.
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 Amen. Amen. How many prayers you seen answered over your last 3 or 4 years, Chris?
Oh, gosh, quite a few. Too many to count. I should have kept a log.
Yeah, I know. I wish I'd had it, too. You know, one of the things that I didn't do and I should have, I didn't even think about it early on. I was just too excited watching God work, is kept a log of all the people that were healed, you know, when we prayed for them. That would have been awesome. And delivered, my goodness, I can't, hundreds and hundreds of people. Okay. All right, anybody else got any prayer requests or would like to pray? All right, what about testimonies? Good old testimony. Or praise reports.
Hey, Michael?
Yeah, Matthew?
Well, I have a couple of praise reports. One is that we did get a car, and it is blue, that we prayed for a few weeks back. And another is the Lord... really protected us, because if we had left for our vacation today, we wouldn't have had a place to stay tonight. My brother was going to make made a hotel reservation for us tonight at the far side of Montana, and he called them up today because we couldn't have come, and they said, we don't have you in the books. So he protected us there. And so... And the whole place is booked because they have something going on there and where he's staying. So just want to praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. God right on time, ain't he? He's always right on time. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else?
Michael?
Yeah, Marlene?
I want to praise the Lord for my mom. She turned 90 yesterday. And I want to praise the Lord for Jackie, my cousin. She was the life of our tiny little party. She brought party favors, and she just made it a really happy occasion. So I want to thank the Lord for her and ask the Lord to bless her mightily in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your mama's still going. Praise you, Father.
Amen.
All right.
Well, I was just going to say I wanted to praise the Lord for my Aunt Dorothy because she turned 90 yesterday, right when my cousin Marlene got on and spoke. So thank you, Father, for my Aunt Dorothy. Thank you for the joy that you put in her heart, Lord. Thank you for the love, Lord. Thank you for drawing her to you. Thank you for taking her away from Catholicism and false idols and... Lord, I just thank you so much for my Aunt Dorothy and everything you've done in her life and for her salvation. She's just such a beautiful person, and she just enjoyed yesterday so much. She's just so beautiful. So thank you for her, and thank you for my cousin, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you,
Amen.
Lord.
I have to send you a picture, Michael.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be awesome. Okay, anyone else? Anybody got a testimony or praise report or a revelation from the Lord or a word from the Lord?
Michael, I wanted to thank the Lord for Barbara, too. She remembered my mom and sent my mom a card. So I ask the Lord to bless Barbara mightily in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, Michael, I just have a praise report. I don't know when it was, maybe last winter sometime, if you remember, we prayed because I had high blood pressure. It was almost 160. And we prayed, and it, I don't know how long it was, but it came down like it was 130-something, which is pretty good, not too bad for my age. And I just forgot about it. I just didn't even think about it anymore. And last night I checked my blood pressure and it was down to 116 over, I think, 58 or something like that, which is quite a drop. And I never took anything for it at all. I mean, I just about forgot about it even. But I just thank the Lord because that's quite a drop. And I just praise Him for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father, for a strong heart for Marlon. Amen. Okay. Anyone else?
Michael?
Yeah, Wade, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I've been telling you that I have a few aches and pains. I'm learning now how to walk in the healing God gives. Recently, I've been taking aspirin when the pains hurt, you know, I'm getting hurt bad, and I found out that if I pray for healing, I don't need aspirin. When I stopped taking aspirin, the pain went away for good. So I just want to thank God for showing me that, you know, I can depend on Him to be pain-free, and the aspirin ain't going to get it because it just causes more pain the next day. So,
amen. When He takes it, He takes it, don't
you? Thank you for healing me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
When the Lord heals you, it's healed. It don't have to come back. It ain't coming back. And if it tries to, you can rebuke it, and it's got to go. Okay, anyone else? Okay. I'm going to kind of get over here into... some of you might be a little bit... I don't know where you are with your rapture and your tribulation and all of that stuff. We're coming to it, so I want to make sure that everybody has a grasp of what the scriptures say about it. And I'd like to give us a little bit of foundational scriptures on when the rapture is and when the tribulation is and that type of thing. So we'll get into that. And if there's any questions, just go ahead and interrupt me and ask them. And we'll try to answer them, okay? All right. Paul tells us that this rapture, this ingathering harvest of the church happens at the same time as the resurrection of the righteous dead at the last trumpet over in Revelation. But in I'll get it out in a minute. Thessalonians 4 and 16. We're going to start there because it leads up to where I'm going here, okay? For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive, that are left, shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then over in 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We all shall not sleep, that means die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, we know that there's only one more resurrection of the righteous dead after Jesus was resurrected, right? Because it tells us in verse 23, 1 Corinthians 15:23, but each in his own order. That's the order of the resurrection, okay? Christ the first fruits, then they that are Christ at his coming. That makes it clear that the resurrection has to be at the end, so that every saint who dies can be included in it. And as we've seen, the rapture also comes at the end when together they abolish death in verse 24. Then cometh the end. Christ the first fruits, then they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have abolished all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be abolished is death. Now I want you to notice that the saints who were beheaded during that 7-year tribulation, because they wouldn't take the mark, they're in that first resurrection. So there's not one before the tribulation, right? Revelation 20:4. Let's see what it says. I saw the souls of them that had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and such as worshipped not the beast, neither his image, and received not the mark upon their forehead and upon their hand. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Verse 5 says, this is the first resurrection. And there's only two resurrections of the dead, okay? There's one for the righteous, and then that second resurrection is for the wicked after the 1,000-year millennium. So the first resurrection of all the righteous must occur at the end of tribulation period. If it didn't happen then, some of them wouldn't be resurrection, right? Saints go through the great tribulation, and that's the second 3.5 years, okay? The great tribulation is considered the second 3.5 years. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. And after these things I saw, and behold, a great multitude which no man could number, out of every nation and of all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And then on verse 14, and he said to me, these are they that come out of the great tribulation, and they washed their robes, and they made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus said he'd raise up all of his people at the last day, which also has got to be the time of the rapture, right? John chapter 6 and verse 39 says, and this is the will of him that sent me, that of all that which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. Verse 40, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone that beholdeth the Son and believeth on him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father that sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. Listen, if we're honest with ourselves, the last day can't mean 7 years before the last day, can it? And we're given a clear type so we'd know when he would come in our day in Matthew 24:37. It says, and as were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Listen, the days of Noah are in Genesis chapter 7. And that's where God said that after 7 days, the flood would come and the ark would lift off the earth. Those 7 days represent the 7-year tribulation, after which that those in the ark of Christ are going to be raptured, right? Let's see what it says. Genesis 7:4. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth. Verse 10. And it came to pass after the 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Now we can see that the ark didn't lift off until after the 7 days. That represents the years of tribulation. And the 70th week of Daniel also, that prophesies the tribulation, which will be a week of years or 7 years, he says. In Daniel 9:27, and he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. That Hebrew word for 1 week is Shabua, and that means a 7 of days or of years. Now, Noah's 7 day tribulation preceded the flood, which lasted for 1 year in Genesis 8 and 13. Now, that year foreshadows the coming wrath of God on those who persecute God's people during the end time tribulation. And that wrath is also going to last a year at the end of tribulation. Isaiah 34 and 8 says, for the Lord hath a day of vengeance, a year of recompense for the cause of Zion. That year-long wrath of God is known throughout scriptures as the day of the Lord, or it's commonly called day of vengeance too. Isaiah 63 and 4, for the day of vengeance was in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Verse 6, and I trod down the peoples in mine anger, and made them drunk in my wrath, and I poured out their lifeblood on the earth. Well, Jesus told his disciples that he would resurrect and rapture his elect after the tribulation in Matthew 24. Let's start out in 21. Then shall be great tribulation, then over to 29. After the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And they shall see the Son of Man coming, and they shall gather together his elect from one end of heaven to the other. Now we can see in more than one passage that the sun and the moon being darkened after tribulation, that signals the coming of the day of the Lord, or the wrath of the Lord, or the day of vengeance. Acts 2 and 20 says, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord come, that great and notable day. And in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Well, obviously, the day of the Lord has to be at the end after the tribulation, because it'd be hard to have a tribulation after the heavens and the earth were burned up, wouldn't it? So, just like it in the type of the end time saints, Noah lived a holy life, and he went through the 7 day of years, and he escaped in the beginning of the day of wrath, after which he came down on the new earth. For the first earth was already destroyed by the flood, so he came down on the new earth, didn't he? The apostate, those fallen away Christians, are not going to escape this wrath any more than the apostate Jews escaped the wrath in 70 AD when the true people of God fled into the mountains. And that was a foreshadowing also, or a type of the rapture, when they fled into the mountains. The unripe figs are going to be cast down at that time, like it says in Revelation 6 and 13. And then that's when the lukewarm are going to be spewed out of the body of Christ in Revelation 3 and 16 to go through the wrath. Don't be lukewarm, y'all. Got to be hot for Jesus. God's going to finish his born-again creation on the morning of the seventh millennial day, just like he did with the natural creation. Genesis 2 and 2. And on the seventh day, God finished his work which he had made. And Psalms has confirms that too in 46 and 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her, and that right early. At the dawn of the morning is what that means, that right early. So we see that early at the dawning of the seventh millennium, after 7 years of tribulation, at the seventh or last trump. We've heard that. At the last trump, with a great shout, that the saints are going to fully enter into the New Jerusalem. And as the Word of God says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and we shall all be changed at the last trump. And the seventh angel sounded. I'm skipping over some books here, okay? Revelation 11. And the seventh angel sounded. That's the last trump. And there followed great voices in heaven. That's the saints. That's us. And they said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord. Praise God. And that's another type fulfilled on the morning of the seventh day, or seventh 1,000-year day. And that's when Joshua, and that's the Hebrew name for Jesus, brought the saints up from the wilderness, representing the end of tribulation. The Israelites compassed the city of Jericho. Remember that? Seven times they went around there, and they blew their seven trumpets, representing the seven trumps of the 7 years of tribulation. In Joshua 6:4, it says, and seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. And that's seven trumps before the coming of the Lord, okay? And the seventh day, that's the seventh millennium, you shall compass the city seven times. That's a seven-year tribulation. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. That's the seven trumps of tribulation, okay? In verse 5, and it shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, that's the last one, that's the last trump, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. That's the saints raptured around the world. Verse 15, and it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early at the dawning of the day. That's where we are right now, at the dawn of the seventh day, and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. That's the tribulation. Verse 16. And it came to pass at the seventh time, that's the end of tribulation, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua, which means Jesus, said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. That's the first city of the promised land. In other words, New Jerusalem, right? The Feast of Trumpets has long been thought to be the time for Jesus' return for his saints. In Leviticus chapter 23 and 24, it says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, shall be a solemn rest, or Sabbath, right, unto you, a memorial of blowing trumpets, a holy convocation. And that convocation means a rehearsal for the real thing. And we can see from the Israelites' experiences here that the people of God were saved from bondage to the Egyptian. And what's the Egyptians represent? That's the old man. And were baptized in the sea. Then they were tried in their wilderness tribulation to prove who was going to go to the promised land, right? They didn't jump from Egypt to the promised land without going through the wilderness. And that Revelation chapter 12 and verse 6 and Revelation 17 and 3 shows is the 7 years of tribulation. The spiritual man, the Israelites, must conquer that carnal man in the promised land of his own life or soul. And if we walk by faith in God's promises, then we take the land and we bear the fruit of the Spirit. We conquer our flesh in the tribulation so that our personal promised land is healed and we become in totality that spiritual man, praise God. In Malachi 3:11, and it says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast its fruit before the time in the field. That's the world, saith the Lord of hosts. And in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, let us also rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience approvedness, that's character, and approvedness hope, and hope putteth not to shame, because the love of God hath been shed abroad in our hearts In James chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations, that's trials. Verse 3, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. Now the Lord gave Israel three feasts, or those feasts are holy rehearsals of 7 days each. He gave us the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Marriage Feast. And these represent the last 7 years of tribulation. Now in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, God's people ate the bread of affliction of Deuteronomy 16 and 3, or tribulation, for 7 days before they left Egypt. And that's a type of the world. And after these 7 days of tribulation or unleavened bread, the people of God passed through the Red Sea baptism, where the old man, the Egyptian, he died, and that spiritual man, the Israelite, came out of the world, right? Exodus 12 and 15, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. For in this selfsame day have I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt. Now, notice that God will permit no leaven, none, in the spiritual house of your body during the last 7 years, or last 7 days in Egypt. And of course, Egypt is a type of the world, right? Spiritual leaven is any evil in the hearts of God's people, of the which they won't repent of, or it's impurity in doctrine, or motives and fruit. Apostate religions, listen to me, apostate religions, leaders, they teach leaven. Matthew 16 and 6, and Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Verse 12. Then understood they that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. The Feast of Tabernacles is a 7-day rehearsal for the final fulfillment of the tribulation, when there's not going to be any servile work. That's the work of a slave. It's going to be permitted because God's people are no longer going to be slaves to that old fleshly man. It's, you know, that's what happened to the Israelites and the Egyptians. Leviticus 23 and 34. On the 15th day of this 7th month is the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. And on the first day shall be a holy convocation. That's a rehearsal. You shall do no servile work. 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now, true believers are going to begin to present their bodies as a living sacrifice during the tribulation. Why not go ahead and take care of it now? Get rid of that old flesh right now. And you do that by allowing the Lord to do it through you. Let's go on here. On the 8th day, that's the day of the Lord, right? Shall be a holy convocation. That's a rehearsal unto you. And you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a solemn assembly with the Lord. You shall do no servile work. 42. You shall dwell in booths. That's tabernacles, or the temporary portable temples of our physical bodies. You shall dwell in booths 7 days. That's during the tribulation. All that are homeborn in Israel shall dwell in booths. That's tabernacles. 43. That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths, or tabernacles, when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. So we can see that the saints will dwell in a temporary mobile temple of this physical body for the last 7 years before leaving this world. And these booths were built with olive branches, mixed with wild olive branches too. And that represents natural Israel and the Gentile believers. The 8th day of the feast, that symbolizes the day of circumcision, when the flesh was cut off in the 8th day of the Lord. And on the 8th day, the tabernacle was torn down. That represents death or rapture. And they then went to their permanent house or their new body, right? That's all a good type and a shadow of what's fixing to happen. Nehemiah 8:18 says, also, day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days. And on the eighth day was a solemn assembly, that's with the Lord, according unto the ordinance. When this body's gone, we're going to have a new one in the beginning of the day of the Lord, praise God. 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if the earthy house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And that feast, it was also called the Feast of Ingathering, or the Great Harvest. And that's another type of the rapture resurrection, right? In Exodus 23:16, the Feast of Ingathering at the end of the year, when thou gatherest in thy labors out of the field. And if you'll notice, God gathers his harvest at the end, out of the field. And that Jesus said that was the world. And it's the conclusion of all 7 Levitical feasts, a picture of eternity. Now, the 7-day Jewish marriage feast represents the 70th week of Daniel, the time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah 30:7. Or we call it tribulation. Historically, Jacob served 7 years for each of his wives, and then they had a marriage feast of 7 days for each one of them. Now, Jesus will feast with his bride in spirit through the man-child for 7 years, after which they are escorted by the virgins to the groom's home, where she's going to be legally his. And that parable is real clear. After the 7 years of the feast, representing the tribulation, on the eighth day, that's the day of circumcision, when the flesh is cut off, the groom, the bride, the friends of the groom, and the virgins all leave dressed in their new bodies to the groom's home in heaven. And then the marriage supper is celebrated at that time. Revelation 19:7. The marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they that are bidden to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And if you'll notice, the bride doesn't get an invitation, or she's not bidden to come to her own feast. It's the other guests who are not part of the bride that get that invitation. During the 7-day marriage feast, those who are obedient to attend will feast on the flesh, bread, and wine of the eternal life of Christ for the last 7 days of tribulation. And God is preparing that man-child ministry of Revelation 12. That's a corporate body who's going to be walking in the steps of Jesus once again to serve this feast of the unleavened bread and manna of the pure word of God to the true disciples of our day all around the world, praise God. In John 6:51, he says, I am the living bread which came down out of heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Yea, and the bread which I will give is my flesh. He was the Word made flesh, wasn't he? For the life of the world. Verse 53. Except ye eat the flesh, that's the unleavened bread of the pure Word of God, of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have not life in yourselves. Leviticus 17:11 says this, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. Well, it's important to note that the bride and virgin spoken of in Matthew 25 are separate entities. They're not all the same. And according to biblical and traditional Jewish marriage, after the 7-day marriage feast, the virgins with their lamps escort the bride to the groom's home to be the 10 witnesses at the signing of the ketubah, That's a legal marriage document. There's a whole lot of confusion over the identity of the woman in Revelation 12. She's the true church, within which is the bride of Christ. After the man, after that man-child was born of the woman, other seed also was, right? Revelation 12 and 17. And the dragon waxed wroth with the woman and went away to make war with the rest of her seed that keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. Well, at the beginning of the man-child Jesus ministry, he led the bride out of the Lord, a larger woman. And as John said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom in John 3 and 29. The bride in Psalm 45 is distinct from the other king's daughters. They were honorable women and virgins of God's people. Then you look at the Shulamite bride in the Song of Solomon. It's distinct. She's distinct from the queens and concubines, sisters and mothers. And likewise, the bride of Christ is going to be brought forth from the woman who's the larger corporate body of the church in these last days. In like manner, Jerusalem is typed in Revelation as the bride, but is only a part of larger Israel. It was the capital city, and it was the place of the throne and the king, but was distinct from the other cities. It was distinct from the mountains and territories of larger Israel, who was a type of the church. So this type that we talked about shows us that the bride is more beautiful and more obedient to run after her lover, while many in the larger woman church are going to fall away and then be pulled back into the world during these days. That book of Esther portrays the bride's determination to become wedded to the king, because she answers every call of the Holy Spirit and being totally nourished by the Word of God from the mouth of the man-child Mordecai. So, a pre-tribulation, all-flyaway rapture is impossible to fit into the types represented by the feast. And just like Israel, the church is going to seek to flee from the beast into the wilderness tribulation. God's people never escaped the tribulation brought on by previous world beast empires, but instead they were always crucified of their flesh, but they were delivered of their apostasy. And in a great wilderness revival, the elect of the end time church will receive the latter rain of the Spirit, and that's going to allow them to bear fruit and completely enter the spiritual kingdom of God. Acts 14 and 22, through many tribulations we must enter into the kingdom of God. And those of the church who cooperate with the Lord and they agree with the word during the judgment of tribulation, God's going to account them righteous and will prevail. Amen. Anybody got any question? Anybody got any questions on end time eschatology? I can't believe I said that word. No questions? Oh, come on now. Help me out here. Well, okay. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? A word or comments or a revelation God's given you?
Michael, that's such a clear, concise teaching. That's well done. I always get confused on the timing. You know, where it says in the scripture that we'll know when we're supposed to start counting the days. I always get confused on that part. And maybe I'm not asking the right question, but any thoughts on, I mean, I know the Lord's going to move in us and through us to let us know when the right time, but I always get, am I making sense? I mean, I get confused on the timing on some of those things.
Okay, for instance, which timing?
Well, we're supposed to, according to the way the scripture reads, we're supposed to know when to start counting the days.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about for the tribulation?
Yes, that's it.
Okay, well, in Daniel it tells us about the covenant and when it's signed. That starts the tribulation right there. So we have to know when the covenant's going to be signed. Once the covenant's signed, that starts the tribulation. That's day one right there. And then you can count from there 7 years, and that's when it'll be over. So we have to know when the covenant's signed, and I believe the Lord's going to show the man-child when it's done, you know.
Okay, good. Yeah, thank you. That helps a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, when they, let me just kind of give you a synopsis of the whole thing, if I can, and I'll try to anyway. I believe from Scripture that the bride is going to be picked before the tribulation. And David's got books out there on that, so you can go back and look at that. And I believe the man-child comes out of the bride, and at the time of the tribulation, at the time of the anointing of the man-child, there's going to be a great earthquake, okay? And we've had dreams that there's going to be an earthquake on the East Coast, and then 3 days later, there's going to be one at the New Madrid that's going to be the great earthquake that's going to split the country wide open. And then after that, there's going to be another earthquake on the east side over in Tennessee, and then one over in California as well. And it's just going to wreck havoc. That's Sandy had that dream 4 times within the last, I don't know, she might have had it more than that, but I know she's had it at least 4 times. She had it once in Arkansas and 3 times over here while we've been here. So that tells us, and her dreams are right on. And that tells us that, and she also had a dream while she was in California, I believe. No, she had a dream that she was in California, and that there was an earthquake on the East Coast. And then 3 days later, the New Madrid went off. So you might say that you have 3 days between the East Coast and the New Madrid earthquake. I just believe it. I believe that's going to happen. And I believe the man-child is going to be anointed at the time of the East Coast. Not anointed, but born. Or dying, let me put it this way, the death of the man-child, you know, just like Jesus, you know, you got a parallel here with Jesus, the man-child has a type and a shadow of Jesus. Not that he's physically going to die, but spiritually, his old man is going to die at that time. And then 3 days later, he's going to be resurrected up, just like Jesus was resurrected up on anointing, okay? The anointing will come, the latter rain anointing will be upon him at that time. And then he's going to lead, that's the time of the great earthquake at the resurrection. Remember that? It says that in Matthew 24, or not 24, but y'all can look it up. When he was resurrected, there was a great earthquake, it said. That's going to be the New Madrid. I just believe that. And then, and it's going to happen worldwide as well. Then he's leading the bride or the church into the wilderness. He's leading the bride into the wilderness at that time. And that's when the bride and the man-child will be discipling the rest of the church, you know, at that time. That's when the revival starts. All of that's when the revival starts. And the revival's going to bring in, as you know, as you probably already know, it's going to bring in most of what heaven is populated with at this time. It's going to bring more people in this time, this next 7 years, than it has in the history of man has. More people are going to come into the kingdom at this time than ever before. So we're going to populate heaven. God's going to populate heaven during this time. And it's going to be because of all the devastation and all of the lack, you know, and the hardships that are going to, the first 3.5 years is going to be fairly easy. It's the last 3.5 years. Just, if you haven't gotten it right in the first 3.5 years, you ain't going to get it right, okay? Because the last 3.5 years is really going to be hell on earth. And it's going to be a great, that great, great, great delusion is going to be at that time. And it's going to be hard to come to Christ at that time. Now, that's when God works with the Jews and brings him to the lights of the man-child and the bride and that kind of thing. That's when the Jews come into the kingdom. But he's shutting the door for the Gentiles at the mid-tribulation, according to what we can see in type and shadow. So that's it in a nutshell. And then at the end, of the seven-year tribulation, those who are left in Christ are going to be in the ark of Christ and watch the recompense of the wicked for 40 days. Just like Noah, remember? Just like Noah. 40 days, they're going to see the recompense. And then they're going to be raptured out of here. And then we're going to see a thousand-year millennial reign after God takes care of business down here. And then the bride is going to be the ones that judge the natural earth at that time. And then at the end of that, that's the judgment seat of Christ. No, I'm sorry. That's the white throne judgment. That's the white throne judgment. That's where all the lost, that's everybody left, is going to the white throne judgment at that time. So all of those people that were left at the millennium, natural people, are lost. There's no more rapture. I mean, the word's pretty clear, and I just read you all of that. But God, I think, is just showing us the heart of man, even though he lives under Christ's reign for 1,000 years, and he's going to turn the enemy loose for a little bit, and he's going to show everybody, all of us that are already in heaven, how evil man's heart is when he gets a chance. So are there any questions on any of that now? I just skipped over a lot, but if there's any questions, I'll try to answer. Any comments or like to add to what I've just said, you're perfectly welcome to add to it. Look, there's not any silly questions, so don't feel like, you know, you're going to have a question if somebody's going to laugh at it. No, I was a complete idiot when I first came on to this stuff, end time prophecy. I thought I had it, man, until I ran across the truth. And I had to wipe all of that junk out and start over. So any question is good one as far as I'm concerned.
Michael?
Yeah, I hear you say that the man-child is going to raise up the bride. What do you mean by that? I have to say I don't quite understand that.
I don't know if I said that or not. I said the man-child will come out of the bride. He's part of the bride now, and when the time comes, God will bring him out of the bride to anoint him, and then he will lead the bride into the wilderness. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Somewhere I thought I've heard somebody make the comment that the man-child will raise up the bride.
No, if I did, I didn't mean to. No, what I meant was that the man-child comes out of the bride. The bride is, of course, that corporate body of people who are killing the flesh. And then the man-child has already killed the flesh. He'll come out and he'll lead the bride into the wilderness. That's the sequence that I see. Okay, somebody else had a question there.
I wanted to ask about the people who are born to people who live after the rapture, that they're going to be damned, is what I heard. I don't know why they would have children if they knew they were going to be damned. No one would want to have children, to me. I mean, as I understand, I wouldn't want to have children if I knew they were going to be damned. So I don't see how that's relevant to the millennial reign, and I just don't know. I feel hurt by it to think about that.
Well, here, Wade, let me try to see if I can explain it a little bit better. That millennial reign are people who didn't come to Christ at all during the tribulation, okay? They didn't come to Christ at all. They might be good people. I don't know. I don't know how God's got it all worked out. But they didn't come to Christ. But under the millennial reign, God is going to be in charge. They're going to have to toe the line. They're going to have to do all of this stuff. And they're going to live a long time. Most of them will live a long time. I don't know how he works all that out. But as far as having babies and all that stuff, there's only one more rapture. There's only one more resurrection rapture after the saints. And that's the white throne judgment. That's the white throne judgment. And that's the judgment of the lost. So if you can just keep that in your mind, that there's no more rapture after that. There's no more saints after the rapture at the end of tribulation. So at the end of the thousand-year millennial reign, they'll all turn against God. And then they'll be taken care of at the white throne judgment. I know it sounds kind of cruel, but if you go back in the Old Testament where God wiped out complete races of people, he says, I make vessels of honor and I make vessels of dishonor. And he makes the vessels of dishonor to help us to kill the flesh, right? His ways is higher than ours, isn't it?
Yes.
So that's. I hope that explains it a little bit better. I don't know.
If we're going to be set as the ones who are part of the bride, who have eternal life, are going to be set as rulers over these people. I don't know if I was ruling people. And I knew that their children were going to be damned if I would let them procreate, you know, because the children would be damned. It's understood that they're not going to, you know, if they've missed the judgment, you know, the righteous, they're not going to be doing any, you know, they're not going to heaven. I just can't see letting them have children if we knew that they were going to go to hell. That's my only difficulty. So I can see it happening. But
all right, let's put it in another perspective, okay? Maybe we can put it in a little bit better perspective here. In the Old Testament, who were the chosen people?
Jews.
Okay.
Israel.
Okay, they were the smallest of nation, right?
Right.
Okay, what happened to the rest of the people?
The ones that were in the promised land were put to death. Men, women, and children.
Wait a minute. If they weren't practicing the old covenant, then they went to hell, right?
Right, pretty much.
Okay, so we've got a small group of people in the Old Testament that were saved. I'm not saying all of them, but the ones who were obedient to the Lord were saved. But everybody else, as a type and a shadow, everybody else was killed and went to hell. Did you know that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So what's the difference in him doing that then and him doing this now? It's actually, I believe what the Lord is showing us, Wade, is at the end of this thousand-year period when he loses Satan, that he's going to show us that the human heart is eternally wicked. And they're going to turn against God. All of them are going to turn against God. That's what the Word of God says. And they're going to come around the city, aren't they? And they're going to try to take out God. And right. You know, and so that's why.
When Satan's returned back out of the pit.
Yep. He said he's going to be returned.
I understand that. My heart, I don't know. I'm going to drop it because it doesn't seem to be any logical answer to me. because if I knew somebody was going to be damned if they were born, I would not have them have those children. That's me is what I'm thinking. You know, I don't
What about the people around you that are not saved and they're having children? Are you doing anything with them?
I try to. I know they have a hope.
But, you know, you just God's ways is not our ways. Let's just put it, leave it at that, okay?
Amen. Okay.
Amen.
God bless.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for the question. Anybody else got any insight into that?
That I don't, but I was going to ask about earthquakes. Get back on that a little bit, if you don't mind. That was mentioned recently. David mentioned this a couple times that there's going to be the earthquake and earthquake, which will be like a somewhat of a the Lord's kind of returning temporarily, and it's like he's viewing things, and that's also might be the time of the birth of the man-child. Is that somewhat correct, that we might see with some of these earthquakes also that initially happen?
Yep, that's exactly what he's talking about is we believe... And, you know, we believe that there's going to be an earthquake at the birth of the man-child. At the death of the man-child. And the death of the man-child is just him dying to flesh completely, okay? That's what that represents. There was an earthquake when they killed Jesus, right? As soon as he died, there was an earthquake, and it rent the veil from the top to the bottom in the temple, right? That earthquake did. Okay, that was a small one. But it said when he was resurrected 3 days later that there was a great earthquake. And with the timing that Sandy has had in her dreams, it just looks like to us that God may use this as the parallel to what happened to Jesus. And that's it in a nutshell.
Is that going to maybe fall in line with the earthquakes across the West Coast and the East Coast, or is that going to be a separate kind of earthquake?
Well, the earthquake that hits the New Madrid is going to spawn the earthquake for the West Coast and the one in the Tennessee Valley, according to her dream. And that earthquake on the Tennessee Valley, that's the one that she saw would form the refuge here.
Is that going to have anything to do with the man-child?
Well, the man-child, he's going to be resurrected at the great earthquake or 3 days after the death, you know. And he's going to be resurrected, you know, 3 days later. Let me get it right in my mind here. The man-child is going to be resurrected or he's going to be anointed at that time. And when he's anointed, then the whole scene changes because then he's walking like Jesus and he's taking the bride into the wilderness, spiritually speaking. And there's going to be man-childs all over the world doing the same thing at the same time. So it's going to be a corporate man-child anointing at the same time. That's the latter rain that's going to come on the man-child at that time. It's going to give him the knowledge of Jesus. He's going to have direct connection to Jesus and the Father. And he's going to have power. And he's going to have all of the things that Jesus did. You know, Jesus knew it all, didn't he? He confounded even the disciples. They didn't know half the time what he was talking about. They were standing around scratching their heads most of the time. But this man-child coming on the scene now, he's going to straighten doctrine out. He's going to straighten out all the silly stuff that the traditional and apostate Christians have taken into their churches here in the last 2,000 years. And he's going to straighten it out. He's going to let them know, hey, this is not right. This is what the Word says. This is what has to be done. People are going to listen to him because he's going to have that anointing, that latter rain anointing. Not only the former rain, but the latter rain. He's going to have a double anointing. That's going to give him wisdom and power. And as far as the other earthquakes, I think that's just the Lord's judgment the one to the east coast, the one to Tennessee, and the one to the west coast. That's judgment. Not all of it's judgment, but I'm just saying to try to work this thing out. You know, we might. I don't know.
Yeah,
but that's the way we see it right now. That's the way we see it right now.
We're kind of getting a feeling that some of the earthquakes might actually be like the beginning of the tribulation time to kind of get people's attention also, maybe.
Well, yeah, I think martial law set in. But the beginning of the tribulation won't happen until the covenant is signed. That's when tribulation starts. And when that covenant is signed, then... You know, it's Katie bar the door. And it, listen, they've already got this stuff in place. The covenant with Israel has already been made. It hadn't been signed by all the parties involved. And they're just waiting on the right time. And what the right time that they've, in the past, if you remember, the right time has always been after a devastating war, or natural disaster, or some silly, you know, stuff like that. So I don't know. It doesn't have to happen immediately after the man-child is anointed. If you read in Revelation 12, you know, it leads them into the wilderness. It doesn't say it doesn't give a specific time frame. So there you have it.
Israel, are you talking about where the rest of the world is pretty much coming up against Israel at that point?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. When they give away half of Israel and half of Jerusalem.
And that'll also have some kind of something on us, too, as spiritual Israel at the same time.
Right? Yep, probably so, yep. Probably so, because what happens in the natural happens in the spiritual next, right? So...
Yeah. Yep, that's the type and shadow.
Yeah. Yes, I think we're right there. Just my opinion. I believe we're right there. I believe we're within a little bit. I don't know how many days, how many months, we are, but I think we're just, you can't go on like it has much longer. You know, we've got sexual perverts running this country, and communists and what have you. It's just crazy, but God's. I think he's fixing to do something, so we'll see. I know we've had a lot here recently. We've had a lot of dreams and visions of the bride and the man-child. And words also to that effect in the morning meetings, that the man-child and the bride are getting ready, you know, and getting ready to go. The man-child being anointed many, many times. The bride getting ready, being ready. It's just awesome. I don't know. I don't know how we could go much longer. So we'll see.
What I've been finding, just like Gaynold, anything that you guys talk about or bring up in Scripture, it's like the Lord's already kind of prepared that path with me too, and it's like I might get it, and I won't really put it together or understand it completely, but I'll just kind of have my own understanding, and then you guys will be talking about it a day or two later. It's like, oh, okay. So it seems like he's just pulling us all through the same time through things.
Oh.
So it's like, now I'm not surprised anymore. I just think, okay, I'll wait for you guys to teach on it, you know.
Amen. It's awesome what God does that, isn't it? It is just awesome. I get so thrilled when I hear confirmation of things that we've already had words on, you know. It's just, man, it just excites me. I'm excited now in my spirit because I know something fixing to happen. I hope everybody else has the same excitement. This is going to be an awesome time for God's people. Oh, my goodness. Glory to God.
Well, the way I see it, we're all disconnected. It's like, even though we're miles apart.
Absolutely.
You know, the Lord's right there. He's got this conduit going through all of us, you know.
Amen. Yeah, don't be surprised. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Michael. I'm with David on that. That's the point of body ministry. We got to stick together, pray together, and be together so we can learn together, because we got to, that's the only way to get it.
Amen. You know, I wouldn't be a bit surprised that, I don't know if this is going to happen or not, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised if some of you don't get translated here, or some of us get translated up where y'all are, you know. I don't know, but I got that feeling that's going to happen.
Hello?
Hey, Andrew, go ahead.
I think I have a verse here on how this man-child thing is going to come about.
All right.
I think you should add this you mentioned 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, when you were talking about a house. And our earthly house and tabernacle be dissolved. We have a building from God, a house made with not with hands, eternal in the heavens. And, of course, John chapter 14 came to mind after that, because it talks about a house there. And verse 3, this is the verse, about how this man-child is going to come about. And if I go and prepare you a place, I come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye be also. And whether I go, ye know the way. And of course, that's when Thomas comes up after that, who was an apostle back in that day, and says, well, what he says after that, but because it was the fulfillment of that was after when the Holy Spirit came upon them and filled them with their ministry of apostleship to its fullness in the book of Acts, of course. So that verse 3 there is how the man-child is going to come about, I think, anyway. And I think this 14, 1, 2, 3, and 4 should be included when you're talking about the tabernacle. You mentioned it in your list of things there. 2 Corinthians 5 and 1. And I think that this in the house of my Father are many abodes, and you know, the abodes there are the rooms, but it's abodes and abides is very close. Anyway, there's something here. Anyway, I know there's something here about this. The house thing, and the house is a moving tabernacle, a moving vessel, and I think that sort of has to maybe somehow fit in there. I'm not sure how, though, but it's there, and I know this verse 3 is how that man-child is going to come about. Anyway.
Okay, let's read it here. Long time, therefore, they tarried there, speaking boldly in the Lord, who bear witness unto the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hand. That's the one you're talking about?
John 14:3?
No, that was Acts 14:3. I thought that's what you said. I'm sorry.
John 14:3. And if I go and prepare, and if I go and prepare you a place, I come again. And of course, that's when the man-child comes and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye be also. And whether I go, ye know the way. And this is going to be how this is going to be fulfilled, of course, when it's done for this person, for the person who comes out of the bride. Isn't
okay.
that correct?
Well, I believe so. Now, if you'll read David's got a book out called The Man Child and Bride Prophecy. It's in there. Those verses you just quoted are in there. So, yeah, right. You're exactly right.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, man.
Part of it. I don't know where I remember reading that in there, and I thought to myself at the time, well, yeah, that's it. Okay. Praise God. Anybody else?
Yeah, it was John 14:4, 144, wasn't it? Michael, you got your mic on?
Yep, I have now. What I was saying was we've been seeing 144 a lot lately, and also 441 backwards, 144 and 441, seeing both of those. On my tripometer the other day, it turned to 144. And then one of the ladies here, Missy, y'all remember Missy, hers turned to 144 too. I think it was on about the same day we saw it. So, and then I get verses, David gets verses, the prayer room, the prayer meeting gets verses about 144 too, and the man child and the bride and all of that. It's just amazing how God puts all these things together. And these are individual people in individual times, in individual houses that get these words from the Lord, and they ties them all together when we come together here. It's just amazing. But that's God, isn't it? That's the way He operates. He's an amazing God. Praise the Lord. All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to ask or share? So what should we be doing now, as far as this spiritual walk that God's got us on? I'm pretty sure we all need to be running toward the Lord. I'm pretty sure, and I'm positive, that we all need to be allowing the Lord to work His work in us. And we do it all by faith. You remember what we talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, where you look in the mirror and you see Jesus, don't you? We do it all by faith. It's just time to be exercising your faith right now. That's the fruit God's looking for in your life. Exercising faith. A doer of the word. Be a doer of the word. God says you're perfect, and bless God, you're perfect. And you're accounted righteous for that faith that He's given you. And you're perfect in His eyes. Amen. All right, anybody got anything they'd like to share? I've seen a couple of prophecies that God's going to put Trump in office. I don't know, but I've seen a couple of dreams or prophecies, words of knowledge from people that said that Trump's going to be put in. Because God's heard our prayers. I don't know if David taught on that the other night or not. He might have. But that's what it
is. What do you think that will do? Is that going to stop the martial law right away? It's going to stop the madness for 3 years, and we'll have more time for the saints to come in? Isn't there have to be some kind of persecution in order to draw people to the Lord? I'm not sure how. I love the idea of Trump being there versus Obama, but it'd be interesting to see how this works out.
Yeah. Well, if Trump's in there, he's going to be doing all he knows to do, to make America safe. I believe that, and that's why I believe the Lord has heard our prayers concerning this election, that He's heard our prayers that He put in Trump rather than Obama or allowing Obama to take over. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that we're going to see some mighty miracles here shortly. Some that I've seen, I don't even, I hesitate to even say them, but I think the Lord's going to just do a mighty work in Washington, D.C., and we're going to see the salvation of this country. But on the other hand, you're going to see lots and lots of judgment around you. Martial law, they'll have to institute that in many places because of the devastation and the the people that run amok, you know. And if we have a financial collapse like they're talking about, you know yourself as well as I do that the banks are going to close it up and people are going to go haywire because they can't get their check from the government, or they can't get their money out of the banks to go buy groceries because everybody lives with the ATM card most generally. And I'm going to just say this to y'all. I would, if I were you, put enough cash in your hand to get you through at least a couple of 2 or 3 weeks if you can, and keep it around you. Otherwise, just live by faith, you know. God can do that. He's done it with me. He's done it with other many other people. And so we can do that as well. But whatever situation you're in, know that God's in control. And all you have to do is ask him and he'll give it to you. So I believe we're close. I believe it's time to get ready. I'm not telling you to stockpile anything. That's, you know, that's not biblical. He tells us to trust him. But I think we're pretty close. I don't, wouldn't surprise me if it didn't happen in the next little bit, you know. But I don't know that. So with that, anybody got any prayer requests before we close out tonight? Well, Lord, you know what's going to happen. You know, to the day, to the hour, to the minute it's going to happen, Lord. And I thank you for preparing our hearts, Lord, for this time that's ahead of us. It's not a time of fear. It should be a time of excitement and thrill to see God's people in their fullness of Christ. And Father, we just thank you for this man-child ministry that's coming on the scene. And Father, we ask that you do a quick work there, Lord. We want to see this thing. We want to come home. But we also want to see you work in your people down here during this time. And Father, we've heard and we've seen that even the disciples of old and the first, back when Jesus was here, want to be alive at this time. And you have seen fit to allow us to be a part of this great happening that's fixing to take place for your kingdom, Lord, this great influx of saints into your kingdom, Lord. And I thank you for it, Lord. I can't imagine, Lord, how you're going to do it. But I know you're going to, because your word says you're going to. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to anoint each one of us and steer us in a way to be in this bride, Lord. I don't know if you've already got them pricked or not, Lord, but I'm just believing for everybody here that they're in the bride, Father, and I thank you for it. And some might even be man-child, Lord. That'd be awesome. That would just be awesome. And Father, I thank you for all the work that you're doing in every one of us, Father. Praise your holy name. And Lord, walk with us, talk with us, guide us, direct us, speak through our lips, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you help us to cast down those vain imaginations that might come through, Lord. And we praise you for that. And we thank you, Lord, for everybody here. We thank you for your protection upon them in the days ahead. And we just thank you, Lord, that we're going to keep in touch ever what happens. If the internet goes down, we're going to keep in touch, spiritually speaking. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you and thank you for every one of these saints of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night, saints. We'll see you.